We're here at a state park in Malibu, California. The coastline here is beautiful and the surf is legendary. But due to the state's financial crisis, this park, and indeed the entire California state park system, is in peril.
Well, California state parks are facing some massive challenges right now. They have $1 billion in deferred maintenance, meaning projects that they need, but they don't have money to fund. In addition, you've got the fiscal challenges, and which have prompted the state parks to shut or reduce services at 150 state parks over the last year. So California state parks, like many out there, are hurting right now, and they're looking for new sources of revenue.
When public agencies go looking for new sources of revenue, they typically end up calling for an increase in taxes, which is precisely what Prop 21 does.
Prop 21 would essentially establish a new annual $18 fee that would get tacked on to vehicle registrations that would be dedicated to state parks. The California residents that own the 28 million vehicles that would be taxed would get free entry to the state parks, essentially driving up demand at the worst possible time for the park system when they clearly can't accommodate the demand they have already.
Giving more taxpayer money to a mismanaged park system is no guarantee that the parks will be saved, especially if the number of visitors increases. But there's a more fundamental problem with Prop 21.
I think most people in California would say that it's unfair to tax their vehicle, which has nothing to do with state parks, to essentially provide a subsidy for the folks that do happen to use state parks.
So what's the alternative?
Most people probably don't realize it, but many public parks at all levels of government are run successfully by private sector operators.
We went to Sedona, Arizona, and spoke with Warren Meyer, the owner of a company called Recreation Resource Management.
We run about 150 parks. Some of those are campgrounds, some are what we call day use areas, which is like a picnic area, like here at Crescent Moon Ranch. And our biggest client is the U.S. Forest Service, which is also the largest recreation provider, public recreation provider in the world.
This is not something new. This is not something untested. It's happening literally next door to many state parks that are suffering right now.
Who benefits when public agencies contract with private companies to manage parks?
Really, everybody's a winner in the whole thing. Hopefully, we make a profit, which is great. That's what we're in business to do, and it's an opportunity for us. But the state agency or the public agency is a winner because typically they're taking something that's a financial loser for them, a real money drain. And by having us run it, they change it from a money drain into a financial benefit because they're actually getting paid rent.
What about the interests of park users? How, for example, do the parks run by Meyer's company compare to the publicly run state parks in Arizona?
Last year, three of the public campgrounds we run were in the top five of the rankings, and none of the top 10 were from Arizona state parks.
Privately run parks are often better managed than publicly run parks because parks run by the government operate within a very different incentive structure.
They don't really see the user fees. They don't get to take benefit of that. A lot of that gets dumped right into the treasury. And so they don't think of it as, okay, if we have more visitors, it's more fees, which allows us to spend more money or to be better on our budget. They think, because they have just an expense budget, they think of every incremental visitor as a problem, as an expense.
A former park ranger in California, Kelly Moffitt has worked for Meyer's company for the past 10 years.
We just don't have the restrictions that keep us caught up in time delays that sometimes can work to the detriment of the resource, and we can react faster, and we can do so under the supervision and the evaluating eyes of our public partners. So I think that's the perfect relationship. I've seen it work really well.
Okay, so privately managed parks are often better run than publicly run parks, and they generate money for the government rather than requiring a subsidy. So why isn't there more support for privately managed parks?
One of the first things I always say is you're going to build a McDonald's in front of Old Faithful. I hear that all the time. You're going to build condos, you're going to build a golf course. If you take a walk around these facilities, you'll see them very natural. That's because in my contracts, the tone and character of the park is set by the agency, and it's my job, and it's a big part of the bid I make, is I explain to them how that I understand the tone and character they want to maintain in the park and express my commitment, and it's expressed in writing in the contract, to maintain that character. In fact, I can't put two boards together with a nail without approval from the public authority.
Other skeptics of public-private partnerships are worried that a focus on the bottom line will inevitably result in jacked-up prices.
There was a meeting about public parks right here in Sedona, and it was brought up that the private company is going to raise prices because they're for profit, greedy folks. I actually dropped fees this year. This used to be a $10 visitation here. It's going to be $9 next year. Over at our adjacent state park, over at Slide Rock Park, they actually, the state run facility, the state park, actually raised its fees this year from $10 to $20. So that's the real irony of it, is the private companies out here dropping fees while the public agency is raising them.
Another concern people often have is that private companies won't have a sufficiently long-term view.
That always seems logical somehow for a private manager of parks that I'm not going to spend any money to keep the place nice. But my revenues are entirely dependent on people showing up every day. Stores and gas stations and everybody else, they rejuvenate those places every 20 years. They keep them fixed up because they want people coming back. Here in Arizona State Parks, and they'll admit it, they haven't put any capital maintenance, large, long-term maintenance, into their parks for years because it has to be appropriated every year. So without that appropriation, because that's a budget football every year out of their control, you know, they end up with no capital maintenance money. I, on the other hand, have my budget under control and can spend it the right way.
All things considered, contracting with private companies to manage state parks seems like a winning idea. But could this kind of public-private partnership work in California? In fact, Meyer's company already does business with MacArthur Burney Falls State Park in Northern California.
He said, well, we actually have a loop of camping, which will be one circular road that has about 24 campsites on it and a bathroom. They said, this is the last part of the campground we need to refurbish and we can't afford to do it. And I said, well, I will do it if you allow me to operate. So what I did is actually put, you know, $500,000 of cabins in this loop, made it more attractive to the customer. And then in return for spending that capital, the state gave me a 20-year operating lease to run those cabins to help me get my money back for making the investment.
So what's the bottom line here?
Instead of imposing a sneaky new tax on drivers in California, what policymakers should be doing is relying more on public-private partnerships and private recreation management companies that can take a revenue-losing state park and actually turn it into a revenue-generating asset for the state.
Everyone likes parks. Everyone likes these natural areas, and we all like to appreciate them. It's really just a difference in the way we approach the operational and the management objectives at each park.
For Reason TV, I'm Paul Fine.